right, good morning. Good to see everyone here. Hope you've had a good week. Text this morning, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Keep your Bibles open there. We'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we begin our time in the Word. Father, we ask for your help this morning. As we meditate on your word, seek to understand it, ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, work through it in our hearts. Do what needs to be done in us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're currently working through a series on the Ten Commands given by God to the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 20. Now, in the first four commands that we've looked at so far, we've seen that they focus in on the relationship between God and His people. Today, we come to the fifth command, and we're going to see from here out that the commands shift to addressing the relationship instead of between God and His people, but between God's people and each other. So there's going to be a shift in emphasis here. And I want to start out this morning with a bit of a trigger warning. This is going to be a tricky text for some of us, but truth is wholesome, and properly understood, it's healing. And so I hope that you'll be able to come along with me, to stick with me through the difficult bits, because by the end I think it will have been helpful. Our text today addresses one of the most fundamental human relationships. That is the relationship between a parent and their child. Everyone has parents, right? Of all the many things that can go wrong in this sin-cursed world, one thing is still a constant. Everyone who exists has a mom and a dad. This is God's created order. Now, because things don't always work the way they should in this world, some are blessed to have more than one mom and or more than one dad, but everyone has a mom and a dad. Our text today tells us something of how we ought to relate to them. So let's look at the text together. The text is really quite simple. Exodus 20, verse 12. The text says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." So we'll start with that word honor. That word honor communicates the idea of giving weight to something, taking it seriously, holding it in esteem, giving it a place of precedence. Now, Leviticus 19, verse 3, makes a similar comment, but even a stronger word is used there. "Every one of you," he says, "shall revere his mother and his father." So it's really quite a strong word that is used for how we are to relate to our parents. This is something we're supposed to do, honor. Then he goes on, he says, "Honor your father and your mother." Now, it's interesting that of all the relationships that God will address here in the Ten Commands, He chooses to start with this one. But really it makes sense, precisely because everyone has a father and a mother. Everyone has this relationship in some form or another, even if they don't know their parents. More than that, this relationship is fundamental in the sense that it is the means by which we received life, right? It is the means by which God gives us the gift of existence. Now, we're in an era where that relationship no longer even requires our parents to have met. For most of history, that wasn't possible. But even so, there is a relationship defined by both that fact and by the child. So in a majority of cases, our father and our mother are living together for at least a part of our lives. And so typically, that's during those most early formative years. So God starts by addressing our first human relationship, the most fundamental and formative. And here's the point, I suspect. Your relationship to your parents, even if that relationship is I've never met them or I have no relationship, your relationship to your parents matters. It matters. If you're human, that relationship matters. I'm not saying it will always and can always be good. I'm saying it matters. It's significant. It's really, really significant. It doesn't matter if you're 7 or 70. It matters. A wise person will not avoid the issues that may exist in this relationship, but will rather seek to address them and, if possible, to resolve them. Because parents matter. If you're telling yourself it doesn't matter, it's not that important, it's not that significant, you're telling yourself a lie. Relationship with your parents matters. It's interesting here as well, and I think quite significant, that God says in our text, your father and your mother. In fact, we saw in Leviticus 19:3 a moment ago, if you listen carefully, you may have caught that the order is reversed. He says, every one of you shall reveal his mother and his father. Here's the thing. Ancient Near Eastern culture did not call for honoring your mother. That wasn't a big deal. It made a big deal about honoring your father, but not honoring your mother. And here we are reading from Exodus, smack dab in the middle of a world dripping with patriarchy. The man is the master, that notion. And God does two things here. First one is he places the mother at the exact same level as the father. And secondly, he elevates both of them to a place of honor in society. That may not sound all that unusual to us, but in the culture in which these people lived, that was unusual. So here's the point. God is not sexist. God is not sexist. When we see Scripture address gender roles in the home or in the church, there's much we can debate and wrestle with, but one thing is clear. God does not view women as inferior to men. Men and women are not the same. Men and women don't always have the same role, but men and women are equal in value and equally made in the image of God. And that's how God treats them. All right? And we're not getting this from the New Testament. Right? We're getting this from 4,000 odd years ago in the Old Testament. We're getting it from deep in the heart of a culture shot through with patriarchy. And God does not follow that mentality. God is not sexist. So the text says, honor your father and your mother. And we are called to do that. All of us have a father and a mother, and all of us are called to honor them. We're to give weight to the role of our father and our mother. We owe them this because they have brought us into the world. We are to take them seriously. We are to esteem them. We're to give them a place of precedence in our thinking, even to treat them with reverence. In other words, your parents aren't just some people, right? They're not just like anybody else. They're different, and they're to be treated with deference. If anyone else were doing this thing that they're doing, you might draw the line. But this is your father, this is your mother, and so you show deference to them because of that. Now, for so many people, what I've just described is a pleasure to do. Right? It's just brilliant. Cool. My mother is here, and she's easy to honor. You know her. Her life shines with love, kindness, beauty, every day. And it's not hard to honor your parents when that's what you're dealing with. And in a perfect world, I could just simply move on with the rest of the text and leave it at that. Unfortunately, we live in a sin-cursed world where it is very important to address this more carefully, because not all parents are loving or good or even tolerable. There are parents, far too many of them, who are evil, toxic, aggressive, harmful, dangerous. As you might know, my dad is in prison right now, and I helped put him there. So the question arises, how do you honor your father and your mother if he or she is evil, oppressive? How do you do that? What do you do with this text, this command? I want to try to give us some help with this question by making three distinctions here. Three distinctions. The first distinction is between children as dependent versus children as offspring. So this command that we're looking at, the fifth command, is directed to offspring, not dependents. Okay? In other words, this is not primarily about how young children who are living at home should behave. That's not what this command is focusing in on. Certainly it does apply to young children who are at home. Paul tells us that an appropriate application of this command during that stage of life is to obey your parents. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents. And then he goes on to quote this command. So it's certainly an appropriate application of this and applies to them. But this is also, if not primarily, directed to adult children, to offspring throughout their whole life. Indeed, it probably encompasses the duty of children to care for their parents in old age. This is not something we really think about in our society. But historically, goodness required that children care for their parents when their parents can no longer care for themselves. And so that's a pattern you see in the Israeli nation and elsewhere. And I think a righteous one. Have a look, if you have a Bible there, at Mark chapter 7. So we're looking over at the Gospels. Jesus makes an argument about this command and addresses this issue. He says, we're Mark chapter 7, verse 9. And he said to them, Jesus talking, "You have a fine way," so this is talking to the Pharisees, "you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." Well, which commandment? Verse 10, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.'" That's our text. And another text, "Whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'Well, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down." Now, what Jesus is saying here is that it seems that he sees this command as having the implication that you should look after your parents in their old age when they reach a point where they can't. He seems to view that as an implication which they have now found a way to get around. They get the money and the parents don't get the help. That was the thing that was happening in first century Judaism. Now, in our society, we collectively care for our elderly and our sick, and we do it through our government. We all do our part and look after everyone, regardless of whether they have children, lots or none. We just look after people. And I think this is just, and I think this is good. Okay? Thank God that we live in a society that does this. But this doesn't change our ultimate moral responsibility as children. Right? So we can delegate the work, but we can't abdicate our responsibility. So children need to keep in mind this obligation to look after our parents or make sure they are looked after. That's the first distinction between offspring versus dependents. This is not just about little children. This is about your parents, whoever they are, however old you are. Second distinction I want us to notice here is subservience versus honor. As an adult, honoring your parent does not mean doing whatever they want, right? A parent who is trying to control their child's life in adulthood is an unhealthy person. Remember what honor means. We said it means to give weight to take seriously, to esteem, to give precedent. So I've summarized it as showing deference. Treating them as different. This does not mean that you should let them interfere with your marriage or undermine your relationship with your children or any number of other sinful, harmful, or unhealthy behaviors. There's nothing about this text that forbids you to have healthy boundaries towards your parents. If your parents are not treating you with respect, perfectly okay to set boundaries. This text is not saying they get to do whatever they want and you just have to take it. That is not what honoring means. In fact, that's closer to enabling. You know me. I don't normally talk about this kind of thing, but the first time my dad went to prison, I honored my mother by helping put him there. And I honored my father by writing to him and trying to have a relationship with him in prison. You see, you don't have to just let them do whatever they want. You can draw boundaries, even severe ones. But you can still seek to honor your parents as best you can. in the circumstances. So this is not about being boundaryless, ceding your rights, putting up with whatever they may choose to do. Rather, it's about handling these matters as if the relationship matters to you. Treating it with weight. Recognizing that this is not just some person, it's your father or it's your mother. Honoring them, showing deference to them because of that fact. In extreme cases, and I know of many, it is simply unsafe and unwise to be in contact with your parents. Okay. That's a thing. When this happens, the way you show honor is to not break contact lightly. Right? It's not your first go-to. You don't do it casually. You don't do it in anger. You do it thoughtfully, advisedly, after having looked into any other options. Honoring your parents might look like being open to reconciliation, if possible. It might look like showing deference in how you speak to and think about them. It's not easy, but it is possible to honor your parents even in such extreme circumstances. So, first distinction, dependents versus offspring. Second distinction is subservience versus honor. And the third distinction I want us to notice is feeling versus doing. Okay, so honor is not a feeling, it's a choice. God is not telling you to feel something, He's telling you to choose to do something. As an adult, as a child, you will not always feel that your parents deserve honor. Indeed, they might not. They will not always do the right thing. But that's not the point here, ultimately. The point here is that they deserve honor because they are your parents. Because they are the instrument through which God gave you your life. You're not honoring them for being good people. You're not honoring them for getting everything right. You're honoring them for being your parent. So God is not saying that you're obligated to feel respect toward your parents, right? Respect is earned. Rather, God is saying you're obligated to treat your parents with respect, whether or not they've earned respect. They are your parents, and the command is to honor them. So that's something you can choose to do, even when you may not have earned respect. Now, unfortunately, there's been some really harmful teaching on this topic, and so I want to feel compelled to offer two additional correctives. These will be quick. Number one, parents are not in loco Dei. In loco Dei is a Latin phrase that means in the place of God. Right? There's a teaching out there that parents stand in God's place to their children. Now, there's certainly a sense in which parents are a reflection of God to their children, and that's a really sobering thing if you're a parent. That your children will get an idea of who God is by watching you because of the enormous power you have in their lives. But it's extremely dangerous to allow parents to eclipse God, to act as if God has kind of ceded his role in their lives to the parents. The parents point their children to God, but they don't try to be God to their children. They're to reflect God, but not to eclipse him. That's the first corrective. Secondly, obedience is not absolute. Obedience is never absolute unless it's to God. One of my pastors years ago, John Vaughan, often said, all authority comes from God. All submission goes to God. He taught us that all human authority is derived from God. And so only God's authority is ultimate. So if a human authority is exercised in a way that violates God's authority. Our ultimate responsibility is to our ultimate authority, God Himself. You are not ultimately responsible to your parents or your boss or any other authority in your life. You're ultimately responsible to God, who works through the authorities that He places in our lives. And here's what I'm saying. Obedience to humans is never absolute. Children, if your parents are hurting you, it's okay to go to another authority and ask for help. You can go to your pastor, police, teacher, any adult you trust, and talk to them. If you don't feel right about what you're being asked to do, it's okay to ask another person for help. This is true for children. This is true for adults. Obedience is not absolute. So, let's get back to the text. We address the first phrase, honor your father and your mother. Text goes on, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:2 that this is a promise. And I want us to notice that the text focuses on living long in the land. This suggests that this is talking to Israel as a nation. Right? It's not just talking to everyone. He's talking to the nation of Israel, and he says, if you do this, the land that you don't have yet, but we're about to go into, that I'm about to give you, that I promised to your forefather Abraham, you'll be there for a long time. This is probably some of what he's getting at here. I suspect so. In a parallel text in Deuteronomy 5, the promise is broader. He says, your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land. Still, this concept in the land, children of Israel in the land. Perhaps the promise was that the nation of Israel would be strong and live long in the land because the families were well. Right? When a society is built of families where the children honor their parents, that makes a strong family, which makes a strong society. It's possible that that's what's happening here. But I think we can take two things from this promise. Two general truths. The first one is, in general, God blesses those who honor Him by honoring their parents. That seems to be a principle underneath that promise. And secondly, in general, when we honor our parents, we have stronger families and therefore a healthier society. This is an important thing for Christians to do because it makes our community stronger. And stronger communities build stronger nations. So, I'll close with this. Our families can be a beautiful place of love, hope, and joy. And when this happens, it can be a powerful reflection of who God is. Just incredibly powerful to see a happy, healthy family. But when it's not, we remember that our human family is not ultimate. In eternity, the family that will matter most is the family of those who are born again by the Spirit of God, bought by the blood of Jesus at the cross, and adopted into the family of God. May we take comfort and joy in this truth today as we look forward to a family reunion in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this command, for the principles and truths contained in it. I pray that you would give us wisdom in seeking to obey it. We pray, Father, that we would truly, deeply, even viscerally grasp the crucial reality and importance of the family of God. that God's family is not modeled after our families, but rather that our families are modeled after God's family. We ask that we would live in these realities, these spiritual realities that we are given, that we would honor you in our families. I pray this in Jesus' name.